But here this morning, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, to one verse, Ephesians chapter 6 and 18, on this series of prayer. And my message this morning is a strange title, but I will explain it and bear with me. My message this morning is the mechanics of prayer. The mechanics of prayer. Reading from Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 18, it says there, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray, Lord God, here this morning. We humble ourselves, we bow in the knee. I'm so aware that you're here this morning by your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Your word says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And I know, Lord God, that when you come to show love and grace and mercy, many despise it and abuse it. But we want to be those whose hearts melt when we see your love for us and we don't deserve it. When we see your mercy and we think that we deserve so much judgment and yet you show us love. When we see that you give us grace when we could not earn it or ever deserve it. My God, our hearts melt here this morning. We want to respond to you. And my God, I pray for your mighty presence and that the Holy Spirit will reveal your Son and reveal salvation and create a deep cry within each of our hearts for reality and for truth, O God. My God, I believe you're a God who answers prayer, Lord God. And we pray right now in Jesus' name. Will you answer the deep cries of every heart? Will you create within every heart in this room a desire and a longing for you? Father, I pray that you do miracles in this room right now, that you answer prayers, that you answer questions, that you meet with lives, that you open up the understanding, that we might understand the word of God this morning. And we ask it all for your will to be done in our midst, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. We love you, we magnify you, we exalt you high above all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The mechanics of prayer. Bear with me for a moment here. The word mechanics, and you'll see why I say that, to bear with me. The word mechanics, and you may never have heard this, the word mechanics means the science concerned with the behavior of physical bodies when subjected to forces or to displacements, and the subsequent or the following effects of the bodies on their environments. You say, Malcolmson, what are you talking about? Let me explain myself. My message is the mechanics of prayer. And you may never heard of this, but the definition of the word mechanics means that science or that study where you look at something that has substance or it has power or it moves and it's affected by its environment and it affects its environment. That is mechanics. Actually studying that. And when we come to prayer, do you realize there's nothing like prayer that affects life, that affects the environment, that can affect your home or affect this church or affect this city? You see, prayer is a very powerful thing, a very dynamic thing, and it's going to affect the atmosphere and it's going to affect your life. That's what prayer does. But also notice that it's a study of those things that affect these bodies. That's what mechanics is. I'm studying and I'm looking at the pressure against it. I'm looking at what hinders it. I'm looking at what obstructs it. Since we all know the word mechanics is used for a car mechanic, you have just gone to the garage this morning. You have just literally driven your body into a spiritual garage here this morning. And as a mechanic, with the word of God, we're going to lift the bonnet and have a look at your engine. You see, this is the science of mechanics. We know what a mechanic does. And Paul isn't here this morning, but he is a trained mechanic. And when you drive your car in and that mechanic looks at it, you know what he said? That smoke shouldn't be billowing out of it. And that noise, it shouldn't be clanking like that. There's something wrong with your car. You see, I'm a trained mechanic and I can look. I'm not, but Paul is. I assure you, don't let me look at your car. I assure you today. But I do know this book, and I want to, as a mechanic, a spiritual mechanic, look at your individual prayer life, and we're going to get out the tools, spiritual tools of mechanics, and I'm going to look at your prayers. Why God answers prayer? What if your prayers aren't being answered? How does God answer prayer? How do you get God to answer your prayer? Saints, you've just driven into a garage and you didn't realize it this morning, and we're going to deal with the mechanics of prayer. Saints, I want to help you here this morning. I'm not here scrutinizing you. I'm certainly not judging you, but I'm here as someone who has experienced prayer at times, as you have in this room. And I want to help you through the Word of God to become proficient. I want your car to drive out of the garage sounding finely tuned. I don't want smoke billowing out of it. Neither do I want you pushing your car out of the garage. I want you to drive out smoothly this morning with the right sound, at the right speed, with a working mechanism. And that's why we're looking at this message this morning. The mechanics of prayer. It says in James chapter 4 and 2, you have not because you ask not. Saints, if you don't pray, that's why you don't have. If you don't make the time, if you don't cry out to God, no wonder your prayers are not answered. How many prayers have gone unanswered? Because we did not pray. You see, the Bible is filled with terms about prayer. We are told ask, petition, request, supplicate, seek, call, cry, knock, and many other terms. They all mean prayer. They're all terms to describe prayer. There was a man of prayer called George Mueller. A great man of God. But he wasn't always. He was born a sinner and lived as a sinner until 20 years of age. He got drunk. He was immoral. He was a thief. He stole off his father who worked hard for his money. He was a blasphemer. He was a liar. He was a no-gooder. He was lazy. He was all these things and much more. But at 20 years old, he walked into a prayer gathering. A small gathering of believers who opened up the Bible and read from it and then knelt down on their knees and began to pray. As he sat there looking at a man on his knees praying to God, his whole life was changed. George Mueller's life was changed. He got born again, saved. He was never the same again. In a prayer meeting, watching someone praying unto God, it affected his entire life. In following years, this young man began to keep a prayer diary. And in that prayer diary, what he would do is, today I've got a request. Something impossible. Something I can't handle. He would write the date down. He would write the prayer request because he was looking for an answer. He wasn't just praying into the sky. He wasn't just trying to fill a prayer meeting with a prayer. He actually expected God to answer and he wanted to be sure that God answered. And he wasn't praying for man. He was actually praying for God. Do you realize that man, George Mueller, halfway through his ministry, he had a prayer diary. And in that prayer diary, he had a record of 5,000 answered prayers. Now listen to me, that isn't all. 5,000 answered prayers the very same day. He did have prayers that took years. But I'm talking about 5,000 prayers where he said, it's an emergency, I need this. I am in a desperate situation. And before bed that night, he could write in his diary, God answered prayer. And he intervened. He healed the sick. He provided money. He brought the right person at the right time. At the end of his days, and he lived to 91 years old, he had a prayer diary. And in that prayer diary, he had written down 50,000 prayers. very accurately recorded that God answered prayer. Do you know in his lifetime he looked after 10,000 orphans? He never asked for a penny. He actually believed God in a time where money was very scarce. But do you know what? His ministry wasn't to orphans. That wasn't his ministry. Do you know he inspired Hudson Taylor to go to China and to live by faith and to be a man of prayer? But that wasn't his ministry. He gave out hundreds of thousands of Bibles, but that wasn't his main ministry. He saw tens of thousands of people born again and come to Christ, but he wasn't an evangelist. Do you know what his one calling in life was? And this is it. When he set out to look after 10,000 orphans, he thought it would only begin with one. Do you know why he done that? He said, this one reason, I want to show to God's people in every nation, in every generation, in whatever situation, whether young or old, knowledgeable or very simple, whether they're rich or have absolutely nothing, I want to prove to them that God answers prayer. Saint George Mueller's life proves that there's a God in heaven who answers prayer. And you know what? That man of God in his life shows that there is a reason why some people have their prayers answered and others do not have their prayers answered. As an older man, 72 years old, in 1877, he was on a boat having left England for Canada for a very important meeting. He was to be there on the Saturday to preach at a meeting to souls who needed to hear about Christ. As they were journeying towards Canada, a fog came down that night and engulfed the sea. And you know what the captain done? The captain slowed down that boat and began to journey very slowly with that boat. As they come into the fog, that boat was in danger, great danger, and it had to go slow. As the captain stood at the very front of that boat, 24 hours he'd been on duty, 24 hours standing there, he was tired, he was weary, his nerves were frayed. And as he stood there, looking into this thick fog, a man knocked on the door and entered in. It was George Mueller, 72 years old. The old captain said, what do you want? And he said, I've got to be in Canada on Saturday. I've got an appointment and I haven't missed one appointment in 52 years. I must be there. The captain said, that is utterly impossible. It'll never happen. Look at the fog. Can't you see it all around us? It would be dangerous to go faster. Well, what did George Mueller said? He said, well, God's going to have to find another boat or another way out in the middle of the Atlantic. God will get me there in time. 52 years. And I've never missed an appointment. God will get me there. I believe God. The captain said, you're crazy, man. You're crazy, man. Look at the fog again. Well, George Mueller said, Captain, let's pray. Will you come to me with prayer? He very reluctantly went down to the cabin. And he said, let's kneel and pray and ask our Heavenly Father to move the fog. The captain said, it's impossible. It cannot happen. He said, do you believe in prayer? I do, but I don't believe in miracles. Well, George Mueller said, never mind. Let's pray. He said, Heavenly Father, will you move the fog within 5 minutes? I pray that you get me there on Saturday for my appointment. You've never failed me. You always answer my prayers. He said, amen, and stood up. Well, the captain started mumbling out a prayer. If it's your will. Do you know what George Mueller said? Don't you pray. You don't believe in anything. I don't want you praying. You don't. Let's go upstairs and see how God has already answered. As they went up, the old unbelieving captain just shook his head, go, the man's crazy. Let me get on with it. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. As they went up, the mist, the fog had all cleared. It was absolutely clear. And that old preacher got to his destination in Canada. Do you realize that day, that captain's life was radically changed? He was a Christian, but never the same again. He was utterly changed, never to be the same again. And do you know what? He become a great man of God. And he's the one who gave this testimony. The captain of that ship said, this is true. This is what happened. That man of God prayed and God answered immediately. Saints, this is the mechanics of prayer. How is your prayer life tonight or here this morning? How is your prayer life? Do you believe God answers prayer? Is prayer working in your life? Are you like a man sitting in a car that it has an engine, it has four wheels, it has a steering wheel, and it's not going anywhere? It doesn't work, but you say, this is my prayer life. I've got to pray. I should pray. We're meant to pray. And you go through the ritual, but nothing happens. Can I ask you here this morning, where is your prayer life? We are coming into the garage of the Holy Spirit, the garage of the Bible, and we're going to look at this thing called prayer. Let's look at several things here, and I'm going to move fast through these scriptures, so don't turn there, but listen or take notes. First of all, prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God. It says in John 15 and verse 7, if it's a condition. In other words, don't claim the promise unless you're doing what it says. If ye abide in Christ, in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you realize the promises Christ makes to individuals? He said, you can ask anything and I will do it. Whatsoever you ask, there's nothing too impossible. Is it sickness this morning? Is it a financial miracle? Is it your mind? Is it your body? Is it your soul? Is it some other situation in your family? Do you know what Jesus said? Whatsoever ye will ask, I shall do it unto you. Not unto the church general, not unto the preacher, not unto George Mueller, unto you this morning. He says, I will answer. If you ask me, I'll answer you. But please don't separate that from the condition. What is the condition? How do you come into a relationship with God where he says, I'll answer your prayer. You ask, I'll answer. You ask me, I will answer your prayers. Saints, this doesn't work for most people. They may pray, they may mumble, they may ask many things, say, why didn't God answer me? There's reasons. There's reasons. Why doesn't your car work? Do you know, there was a lady took a car down the road here into the garage. Paul was working there. And as she delivers it, she doesn't know anything about cars. But she starts telling him how to fix a car. I think it's this. I think you need to do this. I think you should look here. And Paul's standing there silent going, I wish she would go away and let me on with the job. She hasn't got a clue what she's talking about. She's brought a broken car to me and now she's telling me how to fix it. Aren't we like that? Oh, I prayed but God didn't answer. Don't blame God. Oh, I prayed and nothing happens. Therefore there's no God. Or therefore there's something wrong with prayer. Or God doesn't answer prayers in these days like he used to. Rubbish. Rubbish. You know, Jesus said, if you ask, I will answer you. But he says, if ye abide in me. Don't go and live your life out there and say, oh, God's going to answer my prayers. If you abide in, are you in a relationship with Christ? Are you in Jesus Christ? I'm not saying, are you religious? Are you in Christ? Have you had an experience where you're born again and you're in Jesus and you don't want to live anywhere else? I love you. Do you know what? Let me tell you a secret. I don't want to live with anyone else but this little girl here in the front row. Yous are a lot of nice people, but I'm not taking you home with me today. She's the only one I'm taking home. I live with her. You know why? Oh, I love her. I read about George Mueller for 52 odd years. He lived with his first wife until she died. And he said in all that time, every time he's seen her, whether it was down at the washing or out on the street, he said, I was always glad to see her. Very few people can say that. You know, I'm glad to see her. But there is a relationship here. I'm very glad to see her. Some people come asking, Christ, I want you to do this. Why aren't you answering my prayer? Who are you? I don't know who you are. You're certainly not in a relationship with me. You turn up once a week, you use my name, and then you blaspheme, and you live like a sinner, and you say, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Because you're not in Jesus Christ. You need to get in Christ. You need to live in Christ. You need to stay in Christ. I'm telling you how to get your prayers answered. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, the word of God has to dwell in you. Can I ask you, is God's word in you, dwelling in you, in your heart, in your mind, in your life? Do you believe this? Do you read it? Do you hold on to it? Do you hide it in your heart? If this book is only a dusty old book on your shelf, then don't expect answered prayer. Never separate prayer from the word of God. That's the first point. I'm a mechanic here this morning. I'm looking at your prayer life. Don't separate the Bible from your prayer life. If you want God to answer you, I'm telling you how. Let this word of God abide in your heart. You could be a Christian and the word of God isn't abiding there. Man, God has to look for it. Is there any word of God in them? Do they even read this book? It's very hard to answer some people's prayer because they don't believe this book. They haven't filled their heart with this book. All through the Bible, the Word of God is connected to the Bible. It says in Proverbs 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If you actually turn your ear away and go, I don't like that part, but I like that part. I want the promises, but I don't like the commands. I don't like living holy, but I do want miracles from... Why doesn't God do miracles in my life? I wonder. See, if your attitude towards this book, the Word of God, will affect God answering your prayers, it does. And it says in this verse, if you turn your ears away and go, I'm not listening, oh... All the rest, all across this city, isn't it? Everyone wants answered prayer in Limerick. There's entire churches filled with people that say, God, we want you to do this. And yet if you really preach the word of God, all of a sudden you find them turning away their ears, utterly uninterested, saying, oh, look at this. You know those wee kids, you're trying to get their attention. Don't be doing that. Look. Those kids start pointing off. Do you know, people in the church are often like that. You go, but the Bible says, yeah, look. Do you know what the Bible says? If you turn your ears from hearing the word of God, even your prayers are an abomination. There's no stronger word than that. You actually don't listen to me, but you want me to listen to you. Do you know what the Bible says? On that day when you come saying, oh God, we answer my prayer. He says, you didn't listen to me. You didn't listen to my word. You didn't listen to the word of God. It's so important that we connect the Bible to prayer. And in fact, more than that, that you live the word of God. That the word of God molds your prayers. Listen to me, when you pray, build it on a promise of the Bible. In other words, you say, but the Bible says, God, I'm asking because the Bible says. You know, you can change, but the Word of God doesn't change. God honors His Word. God watches over His Word. This is the Word of God. This is His thoughts, His promises, His commands. And you know what? When you say, I've got a promise from God, you said, if I humble myself, you said, if I draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto me. You said, if I seek you with all of my heart, I will find you. Saints, that is a powerful promise in the Word of God. Never separate prayer from the Word of God. Its promises, its conditions, its commands, and all the stories of the Bible, the men of prayer, like Moses, Abraham, Ezekiel, Paul, Peter, the women of prayer, Mary, Hannah, Rachel, many others, they all got answers from prayer. If you want to be a man or a woman of prayer, you know what you do? Read this book. If you read this book, you'll become a man or woman of prayer. And you know what? If you're a man or woman of prayer, you're going to read this book. Don't separate them. This book will drive you to pray to God. And you know what? Prayer will bring you to this book. It's a real thing. George Mueller, that we mentioned, read the Bible in his lifetime 200 times from Genesis to Revelation, cover to cover. 100 of those times, he did it on his knees, reading through 100 times this Bible on his knees. You want to know why God answered his prayers? He was a man of one book. He read this book daily. He read it constantly, 200 times in a lifetime. Do you think that there's a connection between his answered prayers, 50,000 specific answered prayers, 5,000 on the very same day? Why is that? He was a man of the book of God. He believed the word of God. He listened to the word of God. He held to the word of God. That's the first thing. We're in the garage here this morning. Somebody has already had some oil on your hands. And there's all manners of smoke coming out of the engine. But this is good. We're fixing things. Prayer and the word of God. Secondly, prayer and faith. Prayer and faith. It says in Mark 11:24, and Jesus says this, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." When you pray, believe. If you pray but don't believe, nothing happens. There are many who pray, but they say, "I know God's not going to answer." You will get what you're thinking. If you go to God saying, "I know he's not going to hear me. I know nothing's going to change." No wonder your prayers aren't answered. We need the mechanics of prayer here. If you pray but don't believe, your prayer is empty. It's vain. It's smoke that passes away. It's no good. Jesus says, when you pray, believe that you receive. Have a confidence. Be sure that God's going to answer you. Say he's not a God who can lie. If he said he's going to answer, he's going to answer. I can have faith, not in me, not faith in my experience, not faith in my faith, not faith in my prayer. I've got faith in God. If he is the God of creation, if he is the God of the Red Sea, if he is the God of miracles, then you know what? I can have faith in him. Oh, it might only be a small seed of faith, but you can have actual faith in him. And it says, if you believe that you receive, ye shall have them. Very often we prayed and we do not believe. In fact, I prayed for people for sickness before, and they've got healed. And you know who's the most shocked? I am. I am shocked. And I go, "Oh God, forgive me. Forgive me for not believing you." That was an act of God's grace, of his mercy. It wasn't my great faith. I think it was God doing it to say, you ought to have faith. And if this is what happens when your faith is so small, what will I not do if you believe me? I mean, trust in me. Come pray. It doesn't matter if your prayers are short. It doesn't matter if they're very uneloquent. It doesn't matter if you stumble over your words. My one question: do you believe? E.M. Bounds said, when faith ceases to pray, it ceases to live. You can't have faith without prayer. You can't have it. You can't have faith. You can't say, "I want faith." Pray. And do you know what? You can't have prayer without faith. When you pray, make sure it is in faith. Faith and prayer go together. Never separate them. Don't separate prayer from the word of God. Don't separate prayer from faith. You've got to have faith. It says in James 1:6, but let him ask in faith. Talking about prayer. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do you know what a wave is? A wave goes here and there and here and there. A wave never stops moving. Whereas the Bible says, let him ask, nothing wavering. Don't go back and forward. One minute I want it, the next minute I don't. One minute I want to live for God, the next minute I want to live for the world. No wonder you don't get answered prayer. That is not faith. You see, faith says, I want it, I'm going to get it, I'm going to seek God, I am going to pray. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Do you know there's some prayers God doesn't answer? There's no faith. I'm not going to answer you. You can pray, you can shout, you can stand on your head, you can do whatever. You read lots of eloquent prayers written by dead bone men. You can do all of that. God's not going to answer you. You can use special prayer strategies. You know, in the 21st century, you've got lots of teachings in the church. I read something last night of a man. He says, well, my prayer life was dead, so I found a new way. I draw and I express my prayers through art. Others are using mystical ways. Use certain words. Walk in certain ways. Go in a certain circle. That's witchcraft. That's got nothing to do with prayer. You know, prayer says have faith in God. Don't be moved all over the place. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A two-minded man. One minute you want this, the next. You're not going to get anything from God. One minute you want him, the next you don't. The next, one minute you want to live holy, the next you want everything of the world. And you go, why isn't he answering my prayers? I wonder why he's not answering your prayers. Faith is an action. In Matthew chapter 9:28, two blind men come to Jesus. They're blind, they can't see. And Jesus said unto them, imagine in a prayer altar, what would you say to two blind men? They're coming there, we need prayer. Listen to what Jesus says. Believe ye that I am able to do this. Everyone wants prayer, everyone wants answers. But do you believe? See what you prayed Friday night or this morning. Do you believe God was going to answer it? Do you really believe God was going to answer? Or did you just pray it, hoping that something might happen? Maybe one in a millionth chance that maybe God would intervene and do a miracle. That is not faith. Jesus said to these two blind men, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yea, Lord. Don't go into long discussions. Just say yes. Oh, my unbelief, help me. But yes, I do believe. I will believe. Then Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Many people, Jesus can't give to them because they don't believe. They pray, they ask. They could spend an hour praying. Nothing comes, nothing changes. Why? They have not had faith. My old grandmother, when she was an old lady, and my grandfather was a younger man, but he was a rugged man. He didn't believe. He was living his own life. And he was going to buy a farm this day, down the fields. He was a farmer. He was going to buy some land and a house. And he was up, he was a mature man in his 40s. And he come in, they said, Mum, my great-grandmother said, I'm going to the auction to bid on it. And she says, here, Willie, let's get down on our knees and pray. He looked around, made sure no one else is there. And then he gets down on his knees with his mommy. And she begins to pray. Lord, this is what she prayed. She says, Lord, if this farm is meant for him, let not one person bid against him. But if it's not for him, put it out of all bidding that he can't even imagine bidding for it. Well, when he came back with the farm, not one single person had bid against him. You know what? She was a woman of prayer. She was a woman of prayer. You see, some people pray very careful prayers. Lord, if it's your will, heal them. Lord, if it's your will, do whatever. But I understand if you don't listen to this or don't answer. I fully understand. And if nothing ever happened, I fully understand. Sure, you're getting what you ask for. You're a double-minded man. Where's faith? Where you say, I know this is God's will. I know I can ask my Father in heaven. I know I need this in my life. Thirdly, let me say with that, I heard about a farmer once, and it was a very dry season, and the crops, they couldn't survive this dry season, and he's a man of prayer, and he begins to pray. Said to his wife, he said, I'm praying for rain to come today. I'm praying for rain. Well, they got ready for church, and they're going out. The sun is scorching, cracking the stones, and says, what are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing? Why are you taking that umbrella with you? He says, sure, God's going to send rain before we get home today. The old lady laughed at him. When they come out of that church, there's rain coming down. Saints, if you don't take the umbrella with you, you haven't prayed in faith. I'm not talking about stupidness. And there's so much stupidness in this hour, and I'm against it. I believe in the faith of this Bible. There is a real faith where Christ says to the man born blind, go wash. Oh, your eyes are still blind. I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when you do, you're going to see. What if he hadn't have done that? Christ is saying, you're healed, go and wash, and you'll be able to see. What if you say, that's crazy. That's crazy. You do what Christ says, it's crazy. Or what about when he went to Lazarus' grave and he was dead? And Jesus said, roll away the stone. What? He's been dead 4 days. He'll stink. He'll stink. Roll away the stone. Imagine if you didn't believe it. You go, no way. I'm not moving that stone. Martha and Mary, no way are you moving that stone. Do your miracle, but we're not moving the stone. Then no miracle will happen. You see, this is what faith is. Thirdly, prayer and obedience. It says in 1 John chapter 3, 22, and whatsoever we ask, whatsoever, we receive of him. You may sit here and say, it doesn't work for me. Then you need mechanics. Go to a spiritual garage. Begin to seek the Bible and say, God, show me why my prayers aren't being answered. Why is it I can pray? I'm asking, 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 and there's no receiving. It's not God's will that you ask without answer. It's not God's will. It's not God's will at all. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We know a lady at the minute who she's married in a marriage and her husband is a very weak Christian. So she says, God has spoken to me. And we know the situation. God has spoken to me and said, I'm to divorce him and I'm to marry that on fire Christian in the church. And I know this is God's will. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's your mind and imagination. You know what? The judgment of God will be upon you. You see, if you want God to answer your prayers, keep his commandments. Oh, I can sleep around. I can get drunk. I can do whatever. I can lie. Then God won't answer your prayers. You're actually disobeying God. And you know it. And you know what you're doing. And you know exactly what the Bible says. And you're going, no, God, will you answer my prayers? You know what he's saying? No. No, I won't answer your prayers. You know why? If you want him to answer your prayers, keep his commandments, and listen, do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It says in Psalm 119, blessed are they that keep his testimonies or his word, and that seek him with the whole heart. It's not one or the other. There's got to be obedience to the word of God. Remember, all these things tie into the word of God. Faith, where does it come from? The word of God. Where does obedience come from? The word of God. Never separate the word of God from prayer. It says in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read the story about Naaman, a captain of the Syrian army who was struck with leprosy. He's going to die with this thing called leprosy. It'll eat into his body. But there's a little Jewish girl in his home. And she says, you know what? I know a prophet in Israel that can get you healed. He's a man of God. God answers his prayers. If he prays for you, you'll get healed. Well, this captain of the guard said, I'm going to go. He got his chariot, his men, his soldiers, his servants, and they ride all the way to Israel. And when they get to the house of the prophet, he knocks on the door and he says, call the prophet out to pray for me and to lay hands and do a miracle. Do you know what Elisha done? Elisha didn't even come down the stairs. And Elisha sent a servant and says, tell him to go wash, dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And if you haven't been to the Jordan River, you don't know what it's like. It's a thin, mucky, mucky, dark river. And he's telling this captain of the Syrian army, well, if you want God to answer you, go down into the water 7 times and God will heal you. Do you know what happened to Naaman? He got offended. The prophet won't even come to see me. He's not whisking his hand over me or saying a nice little prayer or saying, oh, God bless you. He got offended. He got hurt and he said, man, I want something miraculous. I want the power of God. I'm not getting into a dirty river. Do you know what? That was the word of God unto him. And they rode away and he's angry and he's fuming. And he says, I won't do that. How many people have been in churches and God says, I'll answer your prayers. But you know what? Let's deal with this. No, I won't. No, I don't like that preacher. Why? Because he preaches the word. because he tells you how you can get healed of your leprosy, your sin. Imagine getting offended with someone who's trying to help you. It's all over the place. It's all through the church. You tell people the truth. You know what Paul said? He says, do you now hate me, to the Galatians? He said, it used to be you would have pulled your eye out and give it to me if I'd needed an eye. But he says, now you hate me. Why do you hate me? Because I tell you the truth. He says, how could you go from going, oh, we give you an eye, to saying, I hate you? Why? Because I preach truth. And I tell you to dip in the Jordan 7 times. You know, one of the servants of Naaman says, if he had asked you to do some great thing, go to the top of a mountain, walk to Siberia, pay a lot of gold, would you do it? Yes. And you won't go into the Jordan. Will you not do it? And on that 7th time, as he went down and come back up, he was totally healed. His skin was like a baby's skin. Do you know what the Bible says in Psalm 66:18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It means I gaze at sin in my heart. There is an issue of sin in my heart. And I gaze at it. I love it. I don't take my eyes off it. It's almost like an idol. I have this thing in my heart. You may not bow down to a statue. In fact, you may look at people out there and say, how can you pray to an angel? How can you pray to a saint? How can you bow down and kiss the feet of a statue? I would never do that. But you could have something in your heart that is an idol. And you know what? You gaze at it and you love it. And you go, oh, I can be nice and spiritual and religious, but I won't. I want that in my heart and life. You know what the Bible says? If you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear you. Do you know you can hold on to one sin? I'm not talking about struggling with sin, or fighting sin, or having failed, or falling flat in your face. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something in your life you say, I will not let it go. I will not give it up. I will not repent of it. In fact, it's staying there, but I can have my Christian life. You know what the Bible says? I'm not going to answer your prayer. That thing in your heart is so big in your heart, and your eyes are so on it. Your eyes aren't on me anymore. I will not answer your prayer. In Joshua 7, when Israel was defeated, Joshua is on his face, a man of God, a man of prayer. On his face, crying to God, oh God, why are our armies being defeated? Listen to what God says. The Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Get up. Some of you need to get up here. Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Get up off your face, you rogue. Yeah, you know what the Bible says. Get up off your face. He says, why are you lying upon your face? Israel has sinned. I told them, don't take all the Babylonian gold or garments. You know what they've done? They've done all that, hid it in their tent. Wow. And you know what? I'm not with you. You need to deal with the sin, then you'll have the victory again. Joshua, don't be praying. Go out and deal with the sin. You know, pastors and preachers don't deal with sin in the church. You know, they go, oh God, why aren't you seeing revival? Maybe someone in here has got a garment in under their bed at home, and they've got a Babylonian garment and some gold and silver, and they go, sure, that's okay. And God's saying, I won't move in that church until you get rid of that thing. And you know what? The Holy Spirit can reveal things. Me and Candace know it's remarkable how God reveals things. It's amazing what he begins to do. That's the 3rd thing, prayer and obedience. 4thly, praying according to the will of God. And this, it says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, notice that, praying according to his will. He heareth us. If you pray according to his will, he hears you. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Since the Bible teaches, if you pray according to the will of God, God is going to answer you. You may say, but I want this. I want her. Maybe God doesn't want you to have her. I want him. Maybe God doesn't want you to have him. I want a bigger house, or I want this car. Maybe you get killed in the car. Since there's some prayers you don't want God to answer, you might say, I want This is what prayer's about. It's all about me. This is my prayer life. Me, 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 me. Have you ever spoken to someone on the phone or face to face and it's all about me, mine? 50 minutes I've talked to on the phone to people. 50 minutes. They've never once asked about me. I know everything about their life and every phone call for 10 years. But you know what? They never say, oh, what about you? And then they're off the phone. They didn't even wait to hear. They could care less. Some people are like that in prayer. Lord, what about me? I want. What do we say to the kids? I want doesn't mean I get. You can beg, you can cry, you can throw a tantrum. God isn't your mommy, you know. You may have manipulated your mommy and your daddy, or your husband, or your wife, or your friend, or your child. Maybe you can manipulate all those things. You can't do it with God. You see, he says, if you don't pray according to the will of God, it's only when you pray according to the will of God, suddenly I have confidence. I know he's going to answer. Do you know that your prayers are according to the will of God? I know he wants to answer this. Are you struggling with sin? Is your life a mess? Are you confused? Are you hurting? And you say, God, I want you to save me. That's God's will. That's God's will to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to make you clean. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you a reason to live. It's not God's will you commit suicide. It's not God's will your life is a mess. He wants to change your life. You know, when I pray, oh God, save me. He's going to answer. I know he's going to answer. He says, if you call, I'll answer you and save you and cleanse you and make you clean from your sin. It is God's will to answer your prayers. Since we're in the garage here, and I'm going to continue with this next week. There's too many cars in here. We're going to have to deal with them over the coming week. But I'm telling you about this thing called prayer. The mechanics of prayer. Since you can get prayers answered. You can have answers from God. God can intervene in your life. It's not just some religious thing that we're doing. George Mueller, how did he get 50,000 answers to prayer? He had a strategy. He says, when I pray, I always make sure it's according to the word of God. And he says, I always make sure it's according to the will of God. And I always make sure it's for the glory of God. What is the Lord's Prayer when the disciples said, Jesus, Master, will you teach us how to pray? All of you know the Lord's Prayer, I'm sure. I'm sure most in this city know the Lord's Prayer, but very few really pray it or have learned anything from it. It's not to be recited off as a religious prayer. It's actually a guide. In fact, each point is a heading for your prayer. You take the Lord's Prayer that you could speak in 30 seconds and you pray for 30 minutes or an hour. That's what the Lord's Prayer is for. Listen, there are 7 things you pray for in the Lord's Prayer. 3 of them, the first 3 things, are all about God, not about you. The 4 last things are all about you. Listen, you know it so well. Our Father, which art in heaven, here's the first thing. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Let your name be glorified. Why are you not getting answered prayer? You don't care about God's name. You blaspheme. Oh God, oh Jesus. And you want him to answer your prayers? And you're blaspheming. People all over this nation, they're the worst blasphemers in the world. There's more than 200 nations in the world. Ireland is the worst, most blaspheming nation I have ever been with. I worked for 5 years with soldiers. They curse, they swear, they blaspheme, they're a foul mouth. They're not as bad as the old grannies on the high street here. And yet those same old grannies go and say, I'm going to pray and I'll do a mass and I'm going to go to confessional and I'm looking for the... I pray every day. I've met so many. I pray every day. Your prayer is blasphemy. God's not going to listen to it. All that prayer, a life of prayer. I'm 70 odd and I've prayed every day for 60 plus years. God's not going to answer your prayer. It's not according to the will of God. When I pray, I say, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Sacred be your name. Glorified be your name. Thy kingdom come. It's all about your kingdom coming on the earth. Thy will be done on the earth. I haven't started praying for myself yet. This is all about God. It's all centered in him. But I thought this is about me. No. Do you know when you get a kid in your families and these little children, they grow up thinking it's all about me. Daddy goes out to work for me. Mummy does all the housework for me. They go shopping for me. I just grew up enjoying it all, throwing my clothes on the ground, leaving everything dirty, clearing the plates, increasingly more and more plates as I get older. And Mummy and Daddy, God has given them into my life, all for me. Do you know what? Very shortly you're going to have a wake up. As you grow, you suddenly go, it's not about me. It's definitely not about me. And if Mummy and Daddy have any sense, they're going to start saying, okay, this isn't your bedroom. We pay for it. This isn't all your food. You don't tell me what to do. You're a guest here. We have raised you, wiped your bottom when you needed it, wiped your tears when you needed it. You know what? Time for you to grow up. This world isn't about you, and this life isn't about you. You know, if you've got any sense in the church, you'll realize this is about God. Saints, when you pray according to God's will, God answers. A man like George Mueller got so many answers because he said, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Do you want to get answers from heaven? You won't be a self-centered, proud, arrogant, utterly unconscious of everyone else. If you want heaven to hear you, you're going to say, oh, forgive me, Lord. Get this out of my heart. Forgive me for thinking that I'm the center of this world, that the gospel is all about me. What's prayer all about? Me getting a bigger house. That's what the American gospel is, the American prosperity gospel. God's going to give me a bigger house. God wants me to prosper. God wants me rich. No, he doesn't. He wants you holy. He wants you to have a pure heart. He wants you to walk in line with the word of God. He wants you to obey his commandments. And you know what? When you begin to pray and say, I know the will of God, you can have strong confidence and a desire that says, I know God is going to answer. I know this is his will. It's not for me. It's for your name's sake. Let's pray here this morning. My Lord and my God, Father, we pray for every individual in this room. Father, I don't take anything as an accident. We believe that you're here right now in the name of Jesus. Now we're here at the right time in the right meeting for the right message, nor God, to hear the right thing. Father, we want to be a people who know how to make our voice heard in heaven, that you might answer us upon the earth. Father, I don't want to waste time playing games with religion and churchianity and going in circles. Father, I pray that you'd bring wisdom and the power of your Holy Spirit to every individual in this room. Father, I pray that the mechanics of heaven will come down, that you'll do surgery on these individual lives, that you'll work upon us here this morning. In the name of Jesus, I do believe that you're a God who answers prayer. I believe you're a God who does miracles. Nor God, even the simplicity of that prayer that George Mueller prayed, Lord, will you move the fog, and you answered. You are such a God. You're a God who wants to do wonders, who wants to do miracles. My God, you want to raise up a testimony in this church that you are a God who answers prayer. Father, humble us this morning. If we need to repent this morning, if we need to cast sin out of our heart, out of our homes, out of our life, if we need to make ourselves to be submitted to the word of God, help us this morning. If we need to begin to forget about ourselves and think about the will of God, help us here this morning. Saints, here as we close this gathering, you can repent right now. You can get right with God right now. If there's something you have to deal with, do it right now. Do you want God to answer your prayers? Do you want to leave something in your life that is going to shut heaven? That's going to shut the ears of God himself, where God says, I cannot answer. I will not answer because you will not listen to me. Here this morning, if you're wise, you're going to begin to say, God, it's not me trying to get you to do something, but I want to listen to you, what you're saying to me. If you listen to God here this morning in this meeting, if you open your heart, if you say to God, sitting here right now, God, if you show me, I will respond. That's the way to answered prayer. If you're here demanding of God and nothing has happened, I want to tell you the problem is with you. It's not with God. God wants to answer. Christ promises. He said, if you ask, if you desire, I will answer. But there are conditions to prayer. There is a way to make prayer work. And you can't ignore the Bible. You cannot do that. He's a wonderful God. I can testify here this morning. He healed my body. He healed me when I was sick. He set me free from discouragement. He saved me when I was lost. When I prayed asking to be born again, He washed my sins away. When I was backslidden and drunk and rebelling against Him, He recovered me and restored me and made me right with Himself. He's a God who does miracles. I can give you stories of miracles where God answers. And yet, saints, we can easily lose the reality of this. All of you, most of you, have had answers to prayer, and yet it doesn't always work. You have seen that God answers prayer. You know that God answers prayer. You know the Bible says this. And yet you can come to a place where it's not working and you don't expect it. You're happy to pray without answers. That is not God's will for your life. If you're in a right relationship with God, He wants to answer your prayers this morning. Let's stand here this morning as we close. If you need prayer, you want me to pray with you.